This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
Welcome to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us as Deb talks with her guests, experts in their fields, as they share real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And I am so excited today. We're getting back to a little bit of our roots and talking about social media and digital marketing, which is what this program was originally founded to do several years ago. And so please join me in welcoming Alexandria Baldridge to our program today. Welcome, Alexandria. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Deb. How are you?
You know, for both of us, it's a little early, so we're just going to sit and have coffee as we chat. But you're doing fantastic. And as I mentioned, I love the fact that we're getting back to talking about social media, because that is my passion. And digital marketing, all those various things, because to me, it's just so much fun. And I love doing my program, but we've gotten, we've expanded what we talk about. And so it really is going to be fun today to talk about this with you. So before we jump
in,
let me tell people a little bit about you. Alexandria Baldridge, who has an MBA, is a digital media manager at a credit union. She works to drive the strategy, planning, testing, execution, and optimization of all brand marketing initiatives online, and to help lead the credit union's transformation into a digital-first approach. To help shape the digital customer experience through the entire customer journey, telling a brand story and driving effectiveness at every step. She has 7 years of experience in the banking world and has begun venturing into the fintech world. Alexandria is also completing her PhD at North Central University in Business Administration and Marketing. In her free time, which I'm not sure there is much of, Alexandria is a photographer, a drone pilot, a missionary, and an avid traveler. So again, Alexandria, welcome.
Thank you so much, Deb. I'm so excited to be here with you.
And before we jump in and talk about, that business stuff, one of the things that fascinated me about you is the fact that you are one of those millennials that, and I say that, and I'm sure you get tired of hearing that too. It just annoys me to no end when I hear people or see people comment and say, millennials, they have no ambition. They don't take responsibility, yada, yada, yada. And I tell them, you clearly don't know the millennials that I know, because they are people exactly like you. You are a whopping 25 years old. You're working on your PhD. You've been working in banking for 7 years. You have you've launched your own business on the side as a side hustle. And I tell you what, many people my age don't have those qualifications. So, kudos to you for doing all of that.
Well, thank you so much. It's been quite the journey, let me tell you. Not a lot of sleep involved.
And that is the one thing about being a millennial. You can get by with less sleep. I got to have more.
So true. And to comment real quick on your millennial thing. So mm-hmm. At my work, they know millennial is kind of like a trigger word for a lot of millennials.
Right.
And, because there's so much negative connotation around our age demographic, even though every age demographic has had their own stereotypical problems.
Right.
And ours are just a little more public now with the massive growth of the internet.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I am a baby boomer. I'm at the very tail end of a baby boomer. In fact, some people would argue that I'm not, but we obviously had our problems also, and it's funny. I love reading about the various, criteria that they have. Obviously, the biggest criteria is when you were born. But, when they start saying, well, millennials do this, Gen X's do that, Gen Y's do this. And hey, it's just an easy way to lump people together. It's oftentimes for marketing. You know, we talk about our you know, finding our demographics, all of these various things. And to me, millennials are the ones that really, really embrace digital technology and using all of those tools. You know, I was, you're going to laugh at this, I was in college before I ever really used a computer. You know, we didn't have them at my high school because they were just really starting out. And we had what was known as dumb terminals, even when I went to college, where you had the big computer off in another room that had all the fans and all these things because it was really, really hot because of all the processing that it did. It was a gigantic thing, you know, often taking up an entire room. And then there were cables that came to wherever we were that had, and you had a keyboard and you had a monitor. And that was it. So that was why it was called a dumb terminal. You relied entirely on whatever they put on the system. And of course, as a millennial, you grew up, you know, almost with a smartphone in your hand, obviously having a lot of advantages that we didn't. And but I love learning from people in your generation because you do know how to use these tools so much better in many ways than, you know, people of my generation does.
Yeah, it's so interesting because a lot of my tech background, I actually learned from my dad. And he was in the 80s, he was working on these computers that would take up rooms. Right. And now we have computers that are the size of a grain of rice, essentially, or even smaller.
Right.
He really fueled my love for digital from a young age with showing me what MP3 players were and how to, you know, customize computer systems. And it was just so much fun to learn. So technology is something that it's such a cool thing because, yeah, we have, my age demographic has completely absorbed it. And essentially our lives revolve around it now.
Right. So, you know, and we laugh that, you know, we all of us don't know how to get along without tech. You know, I really do remember when we had to write physical letters to people. You know, we didn't have email. We certainly didn't have smartphones and things like that, but now we can't live without them. I mean, you know, it's like, and sometimes it's nice to unplug, to go and not be connected to everything.
Absolutely. And that's something I definitely enjoy when I travel is I keep my cell phone off in my suitcase because you get to experience so much more. I have a friend, him and I met for coffee the other morning, and he said something very profound to me. He said, a week without the internet is the greatest gift to man.
Right.
And I just laughed because it's so true.
You know, and we survive, you know, even if we have to go an hour without it. The world doesn't stop, you know, all these various things. We might feel like it does. It's interesting here in Georgia, we have a new hands-free law that went into effect several months ago. And so you can only touch your phone when you're driving in a true emergency. You know, you can't be doing GPS. You can't, you know, certainly can't be texting, calling, all those various things. And I did a post on Facebook a couple days into it, and I said, hello, my name is Deb, and I am addicted to my cell phone. Which, you know, of course, yeah, and then I, you know, and I take it further and I say, you know, I put my phone where I couldn't reach it. And that was true. I really did put it where I couldn't reach it, just so I couldn't be tempted. But I said, you know, I put my phone where I couldn't reach it. I'm surviving so far, but my eyes are twitching and my fingers are tingling, but I know I can get through this. And, you know, and the comments that I got were so funny because, you know, a lot of people obviously are here in Atlanta with me, and so they understood, or are in states, you know, where they have laws like that already. But I had several people who thought I was serious. And, you know, and that was a little scary because it was like, oh, you know, really, I was being facetious here, folks. But, you know, that is true. If we have to put our cell phones down, it bothers us. You know, one of the really sad things that I have seen recently is a marketing campaign that is targeted to parents of young children who, you know, put their kids in their car seats in the back seat. And basically, the campaign says, put your cell phone back there too, because you might forget your child is there, but you won't forget your cell phone. And I mean, that the sad thing is that's true. And that's just kind of a scary thing.
Yeah, that's horrific. And, you know, it's interesting to see the way that marketing can have such good messages like that, where mm-hmm. it kind of hits you in a spot where you're just like, ouch.
Right. It does. You know, and in many cases, that is good marketing. When you say ouch, when you go, you know, and so that's part of the fun of it. Now, you know, obviously that's a very serious campaign, but you know, other times that we can use all of these are so much fun. And I love the fact that you work for a true brick and mortar type of place. I mean, you know, you work for a credit union. They obviously have facilities. Now, you know, we do a lot of our banking anymore online. But, you know, it's one of those banks, credit unions, financial institutions, things like that, are kind of slow to embrace this technology, partially because of federal laws,
absolutely.
You know, and things like that. And clearly, you know, that's a good thing that they have to go slowly and you know, make sure, obviously, that we're safe and all those things. But talk to us a little bit about what you're doing at the credit union to really use online marketing, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, all these various things. What are some of the tools that you're using and some of the, you know, tell us maybe about some of the campaigns that you've done.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So at the credit union, we really are trying to hit the mobile market hard, because when you look at things like mass media, for example, so TV, billboards, et cetera, people are looking at those things. Like, for example, you're watching TV and a commercial comes on. What's the first thing you reach for? Mm-hmm. Your cell phone. So you're not seeing those commercials as much anymore. And now you're scrolling through your mobile device.
Right.
And so what we're doing in my role is we're really working hard through search engine optimization and search engine marketing to be those first results that pop up based on different keywords. And it's been a blast. And, you know, it's been a learning curve for our entire department, because, like you said, financial institutions they're almost reactive when it comes to new technologies or digital trends, because they are so heavily legislated by different organizations that the government has put together. And then you have a whole different issue. Well, it's not even an issue. I love it. With the fintech era coming back to life, where these institutions are operating outside of these laws and they're able to be essentially startups and do the same thing banks and credit unions do, but they don't have the heavy legislation. And so at my credit union, we use, like I said, search engine optimization, search engine marketing. We use social media. We use Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Those are my big five that we use. Mm-hmm. And we also really have great results with HTML email campaigns. And not every industry has that, but when somebody gets an email from their financial institution, read it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, well,
because the first thought is, something's wrong. And so you read it. Yeah, right. You know, you're getting the, danger type of email. But I'll be honest, I'm like that too. If I see, you know, that something is coming from either, and we actually still belong to a credit union, but we have a bank account, we have credit unions and then obviously credit cards. If I see an email from one of them, I immediately open it, because I am expecting that there could be something wrong. So then when it's something fun, I'm like, oh, hey, this is pretty cool.
Yes, exactly. And we market that in such a way where, you know, we're not putting flags or, you know, red caution.
Right, right. You're not,
risk, you know.
And that is something that's very important for people to remember is, you know, let's not give people heart attacks with your emails, you know, because if there's something wrong, you do want them to notice those. And so you want to, you know, you don't want to cry wolf. So, you know, when you're just sending them something about, you know, a new feature, a new benefit, don't make it something that is frightening.
Exactly. And we have so much fun. So what's different between obviously banks and credit unions and most people that are in the financial marketplace, they have a bank, a credit union, and maybe just a card with a card company. Mm-hmm. So I definitely understand that they'll be all over the place. And I have a banking and credit union background. So I am not, I obviously lean towards credit unions now. Mm-hmm. And something that separates credit unions from the bank is and this has been something since credit union started, is the level of personal service.
Right.
And how do you transition personal service into a digital first world has mm-hmm. been something that has been a great learning curve for us and my organization. And it's really allowed us to, in a sense, reinvent the wheel of how are we going to make sure that that smile, that excitement that people are used to receiving and that they look forward to from a credit union is coming in on the digital side.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I just want to mention real quick, the reason we're not mentioning your the specific name of where you work is simply because you're speaking to us as yourself, not as a representative of them.
Correct.
You know, we're not hiding anything. There's nothing, you know, nothing that we're being, you know, secretive about. But, you know, you're speaking on your own. And so, you know, we just want to mention that. But, you know, I am looking at your credit union's Facebook page. And I love what you're doing here. Because let's be honest, banking, credit unions, financial stuff, yawn. And there's not a lot you can say about it, right? You know, hey, our
right.
interest rate today is, you know, whatever. You know, that's nice. People care about that stuff. But let's talk about the other things that you're posting here. And I you know, as I briefly mentioned, I actually still belong to the credit union that we were with back in Colorado. I love getting their information also because they're doing a lot of the same thing that you do. One of the things that I think credit unions really focus on is as you mentioned, community. And so they and the credit union you represent are posting a lot of things about what's going on in the community. And so talk to us about that, because to me, that's is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. So for example, like you said, community is a massive part of what credit unions do. They're based in communities. They consistently serve the communities. They reinvest into them. And for example, one way with all of the fraud that's going on, we're really working on educating our members about mm-hmm. fraud and how they can prevent that from happening to them, because it's so scary and things just keep getting more intense. And so we've been working on a series paired with what's called a shred event. So a shred event is where we go out into different communities that we serve, because we're a pretty large credit union.
Mm-hmm.
And we allow them to bring their car full of boxes with their personal documents that need to be shredded.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so that way that information can't be compromised.
Right.
And we've also been pairing that with a video series talking about ATM and point of sale. So like where you swipe your credit and debit card,
mm-hmm.
videos on how to avoid check card skimmers.
Mm.
So pieces that are installed. And so we've had a lot of great success in the marketing realm with that. One of our videos recently that was about card skimmer fraud
mm-hmm.
reached over. I mean, obviously, when you look at social media, there's different types of metrics. And one of the metrics for our social media with that event, it reached over easily over 3,000 people.
Wow.
And the video was viewed 1,400 times mm-hmm. plus, and it was shared and shared and shared. And people that were not necessarily members at my credit union. So it was a really good way to say, hey, we care about our community.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we're doing to protect you. Here's some ways to watch.
Right. Well, and what I love about this is any business can and should be doing things like this, because we all are part of our community, you know, and it really doesn't matter where we are. If we're small town America, if we're in Paris, if we're, you know, wherever, we, you know, when we post these things that are helping in whatever way, people love it. You know, like you mentioned, the videos about, you know, how to, you know, how to avoid, I think you've got one on here right now, how to avoid the problems where you're at the gas station and, you know, somebody might come up and, you know, do things like that. It doesn't matter what type of business you are. Sharing things like that is just helpful. And when I work with businesses, I tell them, we need to post pretty minimally about what we actually do, because for the most part, people know, you know, they know you're a credit union. They know that you sell widgets or, you know, whatever it is, but what ties them to you are these other things, like posting about the communities, these things. You know, I see you also have a pie baking contest.
Yes, we do.
I love that. I'm going to fly up. I'm to sample, not to bake. So that's another example of how it's not something that you would typically expect a credit union to do, but it's a great thing. I mean, you know, one of the things that I love seeing are the businesses that do, you know, like chili cook-off contests, all these various things to get the communities involved. And then, oh, by the way, we are a credit union and here's some services that we can provide.
Yes. And you're absolutely right. And I don't know if this is appropriate for podcasting or radio live, but I always say that what we're selling isn't necessarily like sexy, if that
right.
makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with a credit union especially, there are so many other options. And the area that we are in Michigan, is overly saturated with credit unions. It's a good thing because we have a strong voice in the state of Michigan to take on some of the legal issues and that credit unions constantly are being faced under scrutiny for.
Mm-hmm.
However, what is going to make people come to our credit union as opposed to other credit unions? Because for someone to change a bank account, you know, that takes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to be frustrated or have continuous issues. They don't just wake up in the morning and say,
right.
today I think I'm going to switch banks.
Oh, yeah, because it's a pain.
It is a pain. And so our big thing is, we have a consistent voice on our social media. And so whether it's me or my boss or her assistant that's working on something here, we have a consistent voice. And that voice is we love our community. We want to be a part of it,
mm-hmm.
whether it is a pie baking contest in a rural part of town or we're taking on a part of Art Prize, which is one of the largest art competitions in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We are in all of our communities that we serve and we document those things because that is truly what people want to see.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. And, you know, we want to do business with organizations that are tied to the community. Now I am probably one of the biggest Amazon users out there, you know, for the convenience, things like that. But in many other ways, I want to deal with somebody local, because I want to go in and see them and get to know them. But it is a digital world. You know, that's why we're talking about this. And so we can get people get to know us by our online presence. I'm looking through here. You are the face of some of the videos that you have posted. All these various things. And I want all of our listeners to realize the fact that it really doesn't matter what product or service you have or where you're selling it. You know, is it brick and mortar? Is it just online? All these various things. It can't just be about you. You know, you by tying in all of these other fun things, all these other informational pieces, that's how people get to know you because there is that old adage, we work with people we know, like, and trust. And we trust people who are committed to our communities.
Absolutely. And something that's consistent across any age demographic is cause-based marketing.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so millennials have really transformed the marketplace when it comes to cause-based marketing.
Right.
You look at something like Tom's
mm-hmm.
or all of these, you know, people that are brand ambassadors for ocean-saving bracelets and
mm-hmm.
how with a community invested credit union and a community invested in marketing strategy and actually being invested in your community, those things all tie well to all generations and
mm-hmm.
all demographics. And that's how you reach everyone. It's not about, you know, the millennials need to see someone they can relate to. The millennials need to see the coolest, latest gadget, and I personally can't stand emojis, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, okay, I got right there. You're going to love this. My mother just turned 86 not long ago. She loves emojis. I think it's just the cutest thing in the world because she texts all the time. But, you know, what that is actually, you know, we laugh about this, but it is about knowing who your audience is and what they like
mm-hmm.
and all those various things. So if, say, I were targeting millennials, that would be something I might need to know, because if I start sending a bunch of emojis and things like that, they might go, So it is about knowing who your audience is.
Absolutely. And obviously I'm not every millennial.
Right.
Some things, I guess you could say one thing that from experience, me personally as a millennial, and then in my marketing career, millennials see through a lot of the smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to believe something just because you say it is so.
Right.
You really have to take it a step further.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's a big fallacy in my industry specifically, that is banking, is that millennials don't want to come into the branch. Mm-hmm. And that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a common misconception. So for example, you said you want to go in, you want to get to know someone, et cetera. So you may not see a millennial in a branch as often, but you know when you'll see a millennial is when they're in trouble, when they need a loan.
Right.
If they're struggling figuring out their credit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you can really have those impactful moments. So if you get a millennial in your business, you mm-hmm. better sit down and listen and hear what they need.
Right. Well, and they are also so extremely well connected. And so if, say, a millennial comes in, and obviously, again, we're using those terms that are broad. But if they come in and you make them happy or you make them angry, they're going to share that with their connections. My generation, I don't tend to complain a lot on social media. I do like to post more, hey, this was great, this was something like that. But, a lot of generations, we are going to talk about it, but you as millennials just have more connections, because that's how you're used to talking with each other. I mean, we laugh
Correct.
At cartoons that show that, we laugh, but I mean, there are actual physical diagnoses of people who have problems with their thumbs because of texting. Or, I saw a post on Facebook from a friend of mine a couple weeks ago where she had gone into her doctor complaining about her neck pain. And turns out it's because she is hunched over her smartphone too much. And there is some real and now she's my age, so maybe it's just that we're getting old. But but we always need to remember that if you are dealing with a generation that is so used to communicating digitally, when you make them happy, when you make them angry, they're going to share that information. And to me, of course, word of mouth marketing is one of the best tools out there.
Absolutely. That is something that's true across. My boss is a very experienced marketer. Mm-hmm. She's been in the industry for quite some time, whether it's been in media sales, healthcare marketing, traditional marketing, event management, et cetera. She's worn every hat, and she also says exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
I can see an ad, and it doesn't matter where it is, for a product or a service. And it's like, even if they say, we're the greatest thing in the world, we're going to solve every problem. And you're like, they paid for that. But if a person I've never even met, but I know is a real person, says, oh my gosh, you should go to this credit union, or a good friend says, not so much, we believe those things more. And so that's why it's so important
mm-hmm.
to get your target market, your customers, your consumers, whatever the heck we want to call them, why you get them engaged. And again, that's where doing things like you do with social media, where you have things that people can share, whether it's the helpful videos, all these various things, the pie eating contest, things like that, pie baking contest. The more you get people to share things like that, the better it is for your business.
And I will say this, each year, so that pie baking contest, I was one that was in disbelief, because I am like, I'm not driving to the middle of nowhere for a pie contest at first.
Right.
And then I got there, and there was more people than I could count. And I was filming and taking live videos and all these things. And the pie contest last year got the most engagement on our social media out of the entire year.
I love it.
We're talking, we hit almost 10,000 people with a video mm-hmm. that I posted. And it was just a recap of, people. And it was, there was no anybody speaking into it, but it was just quick flashes of what was going on. And people loved it because they're like, wow, that's my community. I know this woman. She's my teller. Or, you know, I know this person. She's my daughter's soccer coach. And she's at the pie contest. And it was just, it was an amazing learning experience for me personally. And it's been such a great time.
Right. You know, and I love the fact that you take videos when you're out and about in the community, or, you know, post pictures of grand openings, you know, all these various things. And it might not even be something that the credit union as a business is affiliated with. You know, say it's a grand opening of a new business. They might not have accounts with you, but it's still good to show that. And again, I'm wanting to drive home this point to people, because we as in anybody can and should be doing things like this. Well, and
absolutely. Like what you're, I think what you're referring to is we were at a grand opening for a new grocery store in one of our communities. And it was such a big community event that we were like, we have to be there. And so we had a bunch of our staff members there just excited to be a part of this, because that was so monumental to that community.
Right.
You're absolutely right. People need to get out there and do that.
And all of us can do that, you know, because back to that thing that we were talking about, our cell phones are attached to us. So we have the cameras, we have the video. You've only seen $6 million man on replays and all those things. But I grew up when the real $6 million man was on TV. And, you know, one of the things that they said, there was this line in it, we have the technology. And I think it's funny because people forget that. They forget that we're standing there with a video camera in our hand, with a camera in our hand, all those things. And so if you see something cool going on, take a picture of it, post it online. And really, it doesn't matter where you're posting it, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, you know, Twitter, all of those various things. Just the fact that you're posting about it is great. You know, because you, again, you want to show that you're part of that community.
Yes. And I couldn't agree more. And if I'm being honest, so it doesn't take a lot to learn how to use your cell phone camera well. You don't need a fancy studio setup like I have, where I have video equipment and camera equipment. You don't need that. You can, you can literally do it all on your cell phone. There are free tools to make your work beautiful.
Right.
On your mobile device.
Well,
and one free tool that...
Continue. Cool. No, tell us. Free tools.
A free tool. Canva, CANVA.com.
I was just about to say Canva. I love Canva.
Yeah, that's such an easy and free program to use that you can make beautiful marketing pieces. Any business size uses it. I've seen businesses that are twice our size, and we're pretty big, use it. And it's just something that it doesn't matter whether you're a large institution or a small institution, it's a great free tool.
Right. Well, and the cool thing about Canva, and it's funny because I was going to mention Canva because I was scrolling through your feed, it sizes things for social media. And I think that's one of the things that people get so concerned about is, you know, and we're talking about still pictures here, not video, but they don't know what size to make it. And so they post it and you know, people's heads are cut off, or, you know, their logo's cut off, or whatever it is. In Canva, and there's the free version and the paid version. Always, always, always try the free version first, which works for almost everything you're going to need. But you select what you're doing. So, you know, cover image, Facebook post, Twitter post, all these various things, and then Canva will size it for you, so you don't have to worry about it. You know, and the cool thing is, you know, all these things are continually changing. You know, you just figure out, oh, it's this pixel by that pixel. Well, then they change it. Canva fixes all that. You know, and they keep up on that. And but you know, as you just said, it is such a simple tool to use once you get there. And it's got templates, it's got all sorts of things. And so, you know, I mentioned I was scrolling through your feed. So you, as the credit union, is you've posted things that are things like the one I'm looking at right now is Happy Mother's Day. So it's this great picture. It says Happy Mother's Day. It's got your bank's logo or your credit union's logo. It took, I'm guessing, 30 seconds, you know, maybe 5 minutes at the most if you were looking for the for a cool picture. And this is something that I want to remind everybody to do, put your logo on it. Because if it gets shared, again, that's back to that word of mouth advertising. But it's so easy for people to do things like this. And using a program like Canva takes the stress out of doing that.
Yes. And for organizations that can't afford a graphic designer, mm-hmm. it's a great tool.
Right. You know, and you can bring in your own images. Now I always, my little disclaimer here that I always tell people is make sure you have the right to use those images. Just don't go off and go, ooh, this looks like a cool picture. Especially if you're posting for your business. Make sure that you have the right to that. So there's, things like Pixabay. There's, obviously if you're using your own image that you took, that's the best thing. But make sure that you own that image or have the right to use it before you put it out there. But again, tons and tons of resources for that. So, there's really no excuse for a business to say, that one of the things I had a guest on several months ago who talked about, we've all seen these things. Today is National Whatever, Whatever, Whatever Day. And donut day, coffee day, you can tell it's breakfast time for me. National, whatever day. But there is something every single day that has been designated by whoever, as that. Do a quick, graphic image of that. And, so it's easy to do. But again, it's getting your name out there without the, hi, buy from me, here's the greatest product in the world type of thing. Oh, look, you've got Happy Star Wars Day, see?
Yes.
it is something, and I encourage businesses to do that. Now, if you can tie in what your business does to some of those national whatever days, that's good, but it doesn't have to be. It's just about getting out there. And of course, the thing with Facebook is the more you post, the more it's going to show up in people's news feeds. So if you're only posting once a week or less, your messages are never going to be seen. So you really want to post often, hello folks, daily, to be getting in the news feeds.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can have a small budget to promote posts or do small paid promotions, I'll share a funny story real quick if you don't mind.
Sure.
I accidentally reached 11,000 people overnight on Facebook.
Oh no, what button did you push?
I set a like campaign my boss said I could use $100 for mm-hmm. this specific one. I said, great, I'll use $100. And
that's a big budget on Facebook.
That is a massive budget mm-hmm. on Facebook. I mean, I don't encourage anyone to do more than $5 or $6 at a time because mm-hmm. you actually get more bang for your buck in those smaller ways.
Right.
But I was like, I wanna launch this big, massive like campaign on Facebook. And because credit unions, again, it's hard to get people engaged into your social media at times. And that's why we really take that community stand. Mm-hmm. And so I set the budget $100 and I left work and I came into work the next morning and Facebook was like, you've reached 11,000 people on your campaign. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? And I get into it and I accidentally set the budget for $100 a day as opposed to $100 for the entire campaign.
Oh, eek.
But there are. So I was able to shut it right down.
Yes.
Facebook's mm-hmm. really good about that. Really easy to use, and my boss and I kind of just had to chuckle because how many forms of media now, especially digital, can you accidentally reach 11,000 people for $100 overnight?
Right. And granted, a good portion of those people might not ever use your facility, your credit union.
Correct.
But you mm-hmm. never know. And like you said, it's so small. When I boost posts on Facebook, I never do, I typically do $10 or $20. And the cool thing for folks who haven't, done this, you can get extremely specific. And especially if you are something that has a physical location, like a credit union. The ones that I boost are for a business association, for our lunches. So I can tell it that I want, the post to be seen only within about 10 miles or 5 miles. A lot of times I will cut it down even more of where that physical location is. Because, you know, it's great if somebody, you know, in miles and miles and miles away sees the post about our upcoming program for our business association, but they're not going to attend. So I want the people that are within 5 miles to see it. You know, you mentioned that your bank did the shredding thing where people come in and get their documents shredded. You don't want somebody that is 1,000 miles away to see a post like that. Mm-hmm. You want somebody who's going to drive 5 miles to see it.
Absolutely. And Facebook is so good at allowing you to set those parameters. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you can get really specific with keywords. You know, I was joking on Facebook a couple of days ago. I'm not quite sure what I did, but I'm seeing ad after ad after ad for planners and like time planner, list planner, all sorts of things like that. Facebook decided I must not know how to manage my time. And it's funny because I counted up, and in an hour I saw, or you know, in my newsfeed there were 20 different ads. And so, but that was just showing that somebody targeted something that I had done. And so somewhere in there, I typed planning or time management or something. And those keywords were then used. And then, of course, I made the mistake of clicking on one. And so now I'm getting more and more. But you do need to be very careful when you're doing boosted posts, because if people see them too much, they don't pay attention. I mean, you know, it's like anything. If we see a commercial, if we see an ad too many times, we don't pay any attention. Or worse, we can, you know, they can get reported as spam.
Absolutely. And that's such a valid point, because you don't want to be the spam in people's timeline. Mm-hmm. You do not want to be. And there are people in my industry that... So Facebook and other social media platforms, their algorithms change on a bi-monthly basis. Mm-hmm. You have to stay up to date with what's going on. And it's actually not that difficult. Facebook tells you. Mm-hmm. They have something called Facebook Blueprints, which is a free way to go ahead and master Facebook marketing. And you can get a professional certification that says you are a certified Facebook marketer. And they have courses that they push out. They're super simple, they're easy to use, easy to do, and they're completely free, provided by Facebook.com. Mm-hmm. And so learning best practices for social media, there are so many free tools out there.
Right.
And you don't want to be that spammer in the timeline. You don't want to be the person that's posting things that were super relevant a year ago, because the internet moves very fast.
Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're doing either advertising or boosted posts on Facebook, they are very good, they as in the Facebook entity, about helping you with it, because they don't Absolutely. Want you to not like it and not do it again, because, hello, that's where they're getting their money. So, you know, they will help you with it. Now, the rules have gotten a little confusing, you know, thank the Russians for that. And, you know, it's funny, I had I mentioned the business association where we were doing posts about their lunches. So I wanted to boost one where we had the person who is in charge of the Georgia Department of Labor. He was coming to speak. Facebook said, nope, that's political. And so I responded and I said, no, it's just his title. He's coming here to speak about something else. And they said, no, can't do that. And so I took out his title and then boosted it, and they were perfectly fine with that. The funny one was the following month, we had a program, same business association, on aging, you know, as in, you know, we're getting old and we need wills and, you know, what are we going to go into assisted living, all these various things. We had fabulous experts, all these various things. And the boosted post was denied because, and let's see, what'd they tell me the first time? The first time, I don't even remember what they told me. So I resubmitted it. And the first time they told me it was political, I said, no, it's far from. And, you know, so I'm having this dialogue with, you know, an entity of that's just kind of out there. I said, in no way is this political. I said, it's on aging, it's on, you know, all these various things, but in no way political. So then they came back and said that the image wasn't acceptable because it did not show before and after. And I said, you do understand this is a lunch. and they never would approve it. I mean, that was what was frustrating about it. So, you know, it is something that if you're doing sponsor posts, and you know, you can do them on a variety of the social media platforms, it can get frustrating, but it's worth it to figure out how to make it work appropriately. But, you know, again, cheap. I mean, you know, with 10, 20 bucks, you know, or like you said, 5 or 6. I mean, you know, keep it really low. But you get that message out there to people.
Yeah. And it's, you know, if you look at social media over its short history, it has the power to make massive changes. Mm-hmm. So you can go back to Twitter in 2011 with the Arab Spring and how that caused an entire nation to go into an uprising. Mm-hmm. Or you can look at something as simple, and I love studying their social media strategy, We Rate Dogs. Mm-hmm. And it's this, you know, young guy, I think he's 21, named Matt Nelson, who made a following of like 20 million people by simply, he was sitting in an Applebee's and concocted this idea of like, I'm going to rate dogs. People, I'm going to be a professional dog rater. And it sounds so silly, mm-hmm. but if you look at some of the content that comes through We Rate Dogs, it is amazing. It's hilarious. People love it. It engages the audience. And mm-hmm. not everyone's going to have the power to have a 20 million person presence. For example, my photography page, I think I'm shy of 400 likes on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But social media is such a tool. It is so powerful. And people underestimate that getting your message out there and the impact it can have.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and you do have to study it, and we've talked about this on other programs, to figure out which platforms are the best, you know, because there are specific demographics that use them more than others, you know, and things like that. And you know, and you have to change your message. What I cringe at is when I see somebody that posts the exact same thing on, say, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, word for word, same thing.
Yes.
And it's like,
yes, don't do that.
Whoa. And you can post about the same thing. So, you know, say your document shredding thing, but you word it differently for each one because we're on yes. those platforms for different reasons. You know, we're on Twitter to get that quick burst of information. I don't care that they've increased the character amount. We still want short. LinkedIn, it clearly has to be very professional. So you might be talking on there about, you know, your business documents can be shredded, you know, whatever it is. And then on Facebook, you can tell more of the story because you've got so much more room there. And we're on Facebook to interact more with people.
Yes, absolutely. Facebook is much more of a personal community. It's your group of people around you. And for someone, something that I learned very early was never underestimate the power of somebody choosing to click on your content. Because in today's world, a click is a big commitment.
Right.
Especially if you're going to click and then they have to click again. People don't want to click on something multiple times. They mm-hmm. want it instant. They want it now. And that's any age demographic. Right. That is not specific to millennials.
Right. We've all become extremely impatient.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, and we sidetrack easily.
Interesting.
You know, I'm one of those squirrel type of people, you know, and so if you don't take me right to where you want me to go, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yep, absolutely. And the information they need needs to be ready available. So for example, our website, part of my job also entails managing our website. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed that process because you learn so much. Mm-hmm. In the way, like using Google Analytics, which is another free tool, to see what people click on and what they do and where they're going on your site. And people need the information they want readily available. They don't want to have to dig for it.
Right. And it's exactly what we said, because they will go somewhere else. You know, if you make me search, you know, in more than one or two pages, nah, I'm done. You know, or worse, yeah. I do. I get sidetracked. You know, and so remember that when you're doing these things. You know, and one of the things that we've touched on also is that it still has to be personal. You know, I mentioned that we still belong to the credit union back in Colorado, and we're out here in Atlanta. I don't even remember when it was that we did this. I received a physical Christmas card, a real life physical Christmas card that somebody had to write on and put a stamp on from the marketing manager of our credit unions, the marketing manager for our credit union. And this Christmas card was hand done. And she wrote on there, "Thank you so much for still sharing our information to all of your connections, even though you don't live here." So clearly she'd read some of the stuff that I had done. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. You know, she took, and now granted, that's a little bit more time that she did that because it was handwritten. She researched all these various things, but it would take something massively wrong happening before we would leave that credit union now, because they had that little personal touch where she just reached out and said, "Hey, thanks." And granted, a Christmas card is, that's taken quite a bit of time. So, as a business owner, maybe you just respond to them, and that's what people want. If somebody shares one of my posts, I go to it and I thank them for sharing that information.
Yes.
20 seconds.
That is so important.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh my gosh, so Alexandra, we don't have all that much time left. And one of the things I wanted to talk about are some of the other things that you do. Tell me about being a drone pilot. That is just so cool.
Oh my goodness. That is so much fun. It started as a hobby. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I take photo and video from the sky. There's this book called Overview, and I read that, and then it led me to a theory called the Overview Effect. Mm-hmm. And it's just how people find so much wonder and awe in seeing things from the sky. And so I was like, okay, I got to get in on this. And the drone photography and videography has been so much fun. I've done it at weddings. I've done it in backyards over scenic beaches and wherever you can imagine. It's so much fun and it's unique, and there's a lot of government rules, but yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, you can't be flying where you're not supposed to be flying, but
absolutely.
Well, and I love how you use it, because drones more and more, especially if you have say a physical location, It's very cool. I spent some time working for an organization that built senior living facilities, and they had a drone. And so about every 2 or 3 months, they would fly the drone and we would take pictures and we would take videos and then post those online to show people the progress that we were making. And so it was very cool. And so, I encourage people as business owners, think of ways that you could be using drones. They really are so cool.
Absolutely.
Follow and the rules. Don't be bad people.
Yes, I didn't know that there were, the first flight I ever had, I didn't know there were blackout areas. I didn't understand it fully. Now I'm working on getting certified with FAA, so I can use it for commercial flight, so that way I can use it with the credit union. But I will say this, I have taken some quick video, never posted it before because I have not completed the FAA certification. Mm-hmm. But just to see what's going on from the sky, people love it. People mm-hmm. love it. If we in the drone world, I use a DJI Phantom Pro 4, which is one of them, it's the top of the line from the consumer perspective. You don't have to use that.
Right.
You can use something smaller and cheaper and I get it. Some people in the drone community would be frustrated hearing me say that, but you don't need to go spend $1,500 on a drone. You can go get a cheaper one and just take some quick video. People love it.
Right. Well, and again, think of how you could be doing this for your business. The thing we talked about several times is that the credit union had these shredding events. Just think if the drone was flying over that. There are things that you need to consider in addition to the FAA. Is it something, somebody might not always want their picture taken, all these various things. So you need to follow things like that. But, think of how you can use this expanding and innovative technology in ways to benefit your business.
Yes, absolutely. And drones are so easily available now. Mm-hmm. It's good. Add it. If you can afford to add it into your marketing strategy, I highly recommend it.
Right. And maybe you don't want to do it yourself, but there are obviously people out there like Alexandria who do that as part of their business.
Yes, absolutely. There are a ton of people, drone pilots for hire. One thing too, to continue on with that, there's this website, I don't know, you mentioned PixPay, so you might know what it is, but it's called Pexels, P-E-X-E-L-S.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a stock photographer contributor to that. Ooh. They have free photos, free 4K video available under a COO license. So it's mm-hmm. a creative license that allows you to use any of those images and videos for free. And it has millions of followers, millions of views. I think my stock photography alone has over 2 million views on it and cool. A couple thousand downloads. And you can go on there and find photos and video of drones or just regular photos to insert into Canva.
Mm-hmm.
And there's free content out there, even if you need, if you need something more specific, it's not expensive to hire a drone pilot at all.
Right. Cool. Well, we got just a couple minutes left. So tell us the other, a little bit more about what you do from a business perspective.
At the credit union specifically?
No, yourself, because I know you do
myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do a little bit of consult. That's been actually just a lot of fun, really. that's just been helping local, essentially like churches or small businesses in my area, get their social strategy up and running. I've studied so much social media, so much marketing. And it's really great to be able to just say, hey guys, like here's how you launch a Facebook page effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And other part of the business stuff that I do is photography. And that's one that's really grown on me, but it's very time consuming.
But I noticed you do weddings. Oy, that talk about time consuming.
Yes. Weddings. They are my favorite and least favorite, if I'm being honest. They're my favorite right. because you're compensated appropriately for your time. However, you can't miss anything.
No. And you usually have a mother or an aunt or somebody that's just going to drive you nuts.
I have gotten yelled at every wedding but one about something. And and it's really funny because it's just people in the stress of the moment. They're not actually upset.
Right.
They got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where it's good, if you are needing those services, to work with someone who is experienced in that. Because I'm sure that you very calmly reassured them and told them, yes, absolutely. We got the picture of grandma.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. What's important, though, is whatever it is, in many cases, we need to hire the experts. And we talk about this frequently on the program. As an entrepreneur, as a small business owner, we like to think we can do it all, but we can't. And so whether it's hiring someone to be your drone pilot and photographer or your wedding pictures or to help you design your social media, that's what we need to do. So, Alexandria, tell people how they find you and connect with you online.
So, first thing I would recommend is obviously a simple Google search. I know that sounds silly, but Google uses your IP address and your location, and they'll pair people with you that seem similar to your search history. Another way to go about it would be obviously ask the people around you. So if you belong to any professional organization, mm-hmm. don't be afraid to ask someone in the marketing world, hey, what do you guys do for this?
Mm-hmm.
I know that I get a lot of questions about my job, what I do, and I respond obviously in a personal capacity with knowledge that I have taken the time and studied on my own. But don't be afraid to ask the people around you. I would start there. And then if you don't find what you're looking for, then go to a local agency. And for example, there's this agency that I use pretty frequently for graphic design when I have something big that needs to be accomplished and I want to farm it out. I found them through the Chamber of Commerce, and everything they've presented to me exceeded my expectations.
Cool. I love it. Well, and you can be found at alexandriabaldridge.com.
Yes, I can. That's my website. It's been a lot of fun to build websites for people and help them with digital strategy.
Wonderful. Well, oh my gosh, time has flown and this has been so much fun. I want to talk to you when you get your PhD because, again, I want to point out to folks that millennials really aren't the slackers of the world. You know, they're everywhere. It doesn't matter which generation, they are everywhere. And Alexandria is someone who has it. I'm jealous. I'll just say it. I'm jealous. You got it all together, my girl.
Oh, Deb, don't let me fool you with just my educational background. I do not have it together.
You know, we all put out a great front, but, you know, it's one of those things where what I encourage people to do is make connections with people. Build the people around you, and that will really help us to get it all together.
Absolutely. And well, if you're thinking about going to school, do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even if you're just taking a couple night courses. Somebody the other day contacted me and said, where can I take a course about Excel? And I had no idea. And so we helped track it down. And yeah, I mean, she just wanted to learn a little bit more how to use Excel.
Yes. Perfect. And YouTube is a great resource.
Oh, I know. Hello. You know, I think I could do brain surgery from watching YouTube. Well, maybe not. Well, Alexandria, it really has been an absolute delight talking with you, and I can't wait to talk with you again. I am Deb Creer.
Thank you, Deb.
Perfect. I'm Deb Creer. I've been talking with Alexandria Baldridge, and until next time, everyone have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us next time for more real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
You've been listening to C-Suite Radio. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.